Bless you, man. Good. So today is the culmination and conclusion of our message series we've been walking through. This is message number 7, including Good Friday service. The Jesus way, learning to walk the uncommon path. We've been asking the question, what does it really mean to follow Jesus? Not what does it mean to follow the religion of Christianity, but what does it mean to follow Christ himself, right? What did he mean when he invited us to follow him and be his disciples? And so over the last few weeks, I won't take a long time, go back and watch the messages, but really quickly, we've talked about surrender, we've talked about humility, we've talked about love, we've talked about trust, we've talked about grace, and on Friday at the Good Friday service, we talked about sacrifice. So today we're talking about resurrection life. It's him, not you. Resurrection life. We celebrate the resurrection of Jesus for so many reasons today. As shocked and devastated as his followers, as the disciples were, on all that took place on Friday, the unexpected arrest, the kangaroo court trial, right? The torture and brutal crucifixion and death of the one that they called Messiah. Equally shocking, and yet so much more joyful, was their discovery of the empty tomb and their encounters with the risen Christ. Right? Can you imagine? The resurrection of Jesus set him apart as unique. You know, billions and billions of people have died since the beginning of human history. Right? Billions upon billions of people have died. Maybe a few million have been revived, resuscitated, or brought back to life in a mortal body. But only one to date has been resurrected. Only one to date has been resurrected. It's not a myth. It's not a legend. It's not a metaphor. But it's a substantiated historical fact that Jesus lived, that he did miracles, that he taught about the kingdom of God, that he died on a Roman cross, and that he rose again on the third day. Jesus claimed to be God among us, which is an insane claim, unless it's true. Right? Unless it's true. And his resurrection from the dead was the stamp of authenticity upon his claims. The Apostle Paul says it this way at the beginning of his... I don't know what happened, folks. Okay. Anyways, the Apostle Paul said it this way. Romans 1:1-4. This letter is from Paul, he says. This is reading from the New Living Translation. This letter is from Paul, a slave of Christ, chosen by God to be an apostle and sent out to preach his good news. God promised this good news long ago, through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line, and he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. He was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus' resurrection has social implications. The gospel has reshaped the world for 2,000 years. There have been some through history who have used the gospel for political gain, but for the most part, the gospel of Jesus has had a positive impact on society, sparking compassion, care, and education infrastructures that did not exist. Jesus' resurrection has theological implications. The Christian faith is unique among the religions of the world, and Jesus Christ is unique among religious teachers of history because there is nothing like the resurrection. Nothing like the resurrection in any other religious system in the world. A human who has been truly raised from the dead, not just a revived mortal, but an undying eternal being who claims to be God in the flesh. And if it's true, it changes everything that we know about God and about humans. Jesus' resurrection has spiritual implications for us. Billions of people have and do gather weekly to worship this Jesus. And they have a hope beyond this life because of their encounter with and their faith in the resurrected Christ. So first of all, three things I want to say about the resurrection this morning. First of all, resurrection is our salvation. Our very salvation is a resurrection event demonstrated by our baptism. In Romans 6, verse 4, it says, "We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." So as followers of Christ, we have eternal life, not just someday, but we have resurrection life in us because we have identified with Jesus' death, believing in his saving act on the cross, have died to our old path, and in beginning a new path, we have actually become something new. We are a new creation. That is because of the resurrection power of Christ in us. Amen? Ephesians 1, starting in verse 18, it says this, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and that you would know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly realms." That same resurrection power is at work in us. The resurrection of Jesus and the power of that resurrection at work in our lives means we are rescued from sin. We are rescued from death. We are changed from the inside out, and we are new. Secondly, resurrection is our hope. Resurrection is our salvation. It's also our hope. Jesus' resurrection not only means resurrection life here and now, but it also means that because Christ was raised, we too will be raised. It means that we don't just have some vague hope that when we die, we go to heaven in some spiritual state to be with Jesus. But there's actually a promise that at the end of the days, there will be a resurrection from the dead. And that those who believe in Jesus and follow the Jesus way will be raised in new immortal bodies and live a new kind of existence free from sickness and sin and death and loss. 1 John 3 says, Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in John 3, 1 John 3, verse 2 and 3, it says this. Listen, I tell... No, in, sorry, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. It says, listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. So we will not all die, because some of us will still be alive when Jesus returns. Right? Most of us, probably, maybe, depending on when he comes, most of us will pass through death, right? But Paul says, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep or die. We will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable. And we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Amen. So resurrection is our salvation. Resurrection is our hope. But I really want us to zero in on this morning. Resurrection is our path. It is our path. We've been talking about the Jesus way. And each of the things that we've talked about as we've walked through these weeks, we've realized that not only are those things great spiritual truths, but they're actually the path that we walk on as we live for Jesus, as we live His way, right? The death and resurrection of Jesus and of us through Christ, as we've talked about, is not only how we get through the door. It's not only our salvation event. It's not only our baptism event where we're raised to new life, but it actually is the path that we walk every day. Often what happens, I've seen this again and again over the last 30 years of serving and pastoring. I've seen it in my own life, right? Often what happens is we trust in Christ and what He did for us on the cross, and we receive His resurrection life at the beginning. But then rather than follow Christ on that path of resurrection life daily, we choose to live the Christian life by religious effort, by my effort. Galatians 3, verses 1 to 3 says, O foolish Galatians. Or we might say, O foolish Bathurstians. I don't know what we call ourselves. Bathurstites? I don't know. I love the Halifax one, right? Haligonians. That's awesome. But Bathagonians? No? Anyways, O foolish Bathurstites, who has cast an evil spell on you? For the meaning of Jesus Christ's death was made clear to you as if you had seen a picture of his death on the cross. Let me ask you this one question. Did you receive the Holy Spirit by obeying the law of Moses, by religious effort? Right? Of course not. You received the Spirit because you believed in the message you heard about Christ. How foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, why are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? It's Paul's words to the Galatians. But it should hit our hearts as well, right? Because so often There is a gravitational pull, I think, in the human heart to keep going back to our own religious effort instead of truly trusting Christ every day. So let's be honest. How many of us have felt on some days like living this Christian life is super impossible? Right? It's supposed to be freeing, and yet it sometimes feels like you're back in a cage, or it feels like you can never measure up. Like you always fail, and at times you just keep feeling like, you know, maybe I just give up on this thing. It's so hard. It's because no one can live the Jesus life except Jesus. No one can live the Christ life except Christ. We're not supposed to live it by keeping some rules or following some instructions. We're supposed to live it by dying daily and letting Him live His resurrection life through us. By every morning saying, God, I give up. Right? Before you even start the day, God, I give up. I can't do this. But I know that your resurrection life living through me can. So at every turn, at every point today, I give up trying to be who I think you want me to be, and I'm going to let you come and do it through me. The founders of every other religion or faith in the world have said they want to show you a path or teach you a path. But we said at the beginning of this series that that's not what Jesus did. Just a couple hours before Jesus was arrested, he was telling his disciples that he had to go away, and that when he went away, he would prepare a place for them so that they could come and be where he is. This is in John 14. And he said, you know the way to where I am going. And then Thomas pipes up and he says, no, we don't know the way. We don't even know where you're going. How can we know the way? And then Jesus replies, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No religious effort will ever get you there. That separation, you will never cross it by your effort, right? But it's only by not only what Jesus did for us, but what he does through us every day, that he enables us to live this life. I am the way. Don't look for a way. He is the way. Another book, I'm not against reading, but another book isn't gonna teach you the way to live for Jesus. Just we need to get out of the way and let him live his life through us. And I've found no other scripture that helps me grasp this truth more than Galatians 2, verse 20. And I would say it changed my life. We actually had a in one of the churches we were in, we had a teacher come in and teach on the grace life. He taught a lot on this verse, and it revolutionized my life when I understood that striving in my effort would never produce the fruit of Jesus in my life. It would never work. But to die daily, to surrender daily, to daily say, Father, not my will, but yours. And to let him be the goodness, the righteousness, the love, the strength, the joy, the peace, the life in me. So Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. That means I'm dead. Right? I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live now in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, that's not just the day you came to Jesus, you had some faith, and then you just came into this thing, and now you do it your way. But the life I live in the body, I live by faith. That means every step. Every step is by faith. Trusting God every step of the way. Laying down my agenda, my life, my plans, my everything, every step of the way. It's Him, not you. It's Him, not you. It is the love of Jesus that came seeking you. You didn't go seeking Him. You maybe thought you did, but He sought you first. It's the love of Jesus that came seeking you. It is the sacrifice of Jesus that paid the penalty for your sin. It is the goodness of Jesus that the Father sees when He looks at you. It is the resurrection life of Jesus that will enable you to live the life that pleases God. It is the image of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is shaping in you through every challenge, every trial, every situation as you cooperate with Him and yield to Him. Yield to the Jesus way of surrender, humility, love, trust, grace, and sacrifice. That you are becoming like Jesus. It's Him, not you. I'm going to invite the worship team to come on up. And I'm going to ask us all to stand. We're wrapping up a little earlier than maybe you're used to. No, I didn't run out of words to say. We just by design, that I wanted to leave us some time this morning. Because if you are here or watching online this morning, and you're exploring the Christian faith, you're either maybe brand new to it, or you're not sure if this thing's for you, but you're exploring the Christian faith. Maybe you're not yet on the Jesus path, or you don't even know what that means, and that's okay. I'm so glad that you're here. I'm so glad that you're opening your heart to the possibilities. But the Holy Spirit of God is drawing you today. If you're sensing, even as you're standing here or listening online, if you're sensing as we're talking about Jesus and His path and His resurrection life, and a new start. And if you're sensing a surprising curiosity and a desire to know more, that is the the Spirit of God speaking to you in wordless nudges, inviting you to draw close to Jesus. And I want to encourage you, don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid of that pull, that curiosity. Because, hear me today, if it costs you everything to know Jesus, it is a bargain. It is a bargain. And if you want to know him today, we would love to help you take that step. Just find out who is this Jesus? What is he about? Why does he call me to come and lay my life down, to come and die? What does he really have for me that would be worth that? We want to help you discover forgiveness, the freedom, and the hope that comes from knowing Jesus. And for the rest of us here this morning, you know, sometimes we think we're on the Jesus path, but then we realize that we've slipped again into trying to live for Jesus in my strength. We've slipped again into religious effort. We've slipped again into trying to produce Jesus fruit from my striving and my effort. And maybe some of us here are just tired. Tired of being on the religious treadmill and trying to do it, trying to live it, trying to produce that fruit, and you're just like, I don't know if I can do it anymore. Folks, I want to remind you that you were never meant to try to pump out the fruit of Jesus out of your life by just try harder. Just do more. It's not how it works. And maybe some of us have gotten stuck in that cycle. And today, I want to encourage you that Jesus wants to set you free. Some of us in this room, he wants to set us free from sin. Some of us in this room, he wants to set us free from religion. But all of us, he wants freedom for us. Wants freedom for us. So I want to ask this morning that if you find yourself in any of those camps, any of those groups, you just come and die. Just come and lay down your life. Just come and say, Jesus, I give up. I give up. I can't do this, but I know you can do it through me. Jesus, I lay down my life that your resurrection life would come and fill me again, empower me again, strengthen me again. Right? What was that verse in Ephesians that we read? If I can find it again. Yeah. Pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, that you may know his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead. Folks, that's what's available to us. Every day, that's what's available to us. So, Father, thank you. Thank you for the powerful truth of the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you that the resurrection of Jesus is our salvation, that you died and rose again so that when I identify with your death, I can also receive your life, that I'm a new creation in you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your resurrection is our hope. These bodies are breaking down. There's coming a day when we will have a resurrected body. We will live forever in your presence. But God, thank you that your resurrection is my path. That I don't have to try to live this life in my strength. I don't have to pump out the fruit of Jesus in my wisdom or ability or striving or effort. You don't call me to just do more, just try harder, just push harder, but you invite me to come and rest in you. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Walk in my path, is what he's saying. You will have rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. So, Father, today, some of us, we need to repent picking up a different yoke too often. A yoke of striving, straining, instead of trusting. So God, we give up. We give up. In Jesus' name. Encourage you as we worship. Bob's going to close our time together in a moment, but as we worship, why don't you come and lay it down? Why don't you come and say, God, I give up. Receive something fresh from him today. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord. Thank you for coming this morning. It's been a great day so far in the presence of the Lord.